Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program. And as you know, we've mentioned to you today, it will be with Mufti Muhammad Aku Saab, Damat Barakatuhu. Let's welcome our honorable guest, Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullahu khairan wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mufti Saab, jazakumullahu khairan to you for responding to this.
Amin ya Rabbil Alameen.
We had a special request, if Mufti Saab can open it up for us, inshallah. And that is the Battle of Badr, which took place on the 17th of Ramadan. So we know in Saudi, today is the 16th, here it is the 15th. So this build-up, what happened, and Mufti Saab can share with us certain lessons from the Battle of Badr.
Jazakumullah for the opportunity, and alhamdulillah, it's such a lovely, pertinent topic. Alhamdulillah, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Respected Ummah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this expedition took place in the month of Ramadan. And it is known in the Quran as Yawmul Furqan. The chapter of the Quran al-Kareem that details this expedition is Al-Anfal, Suratul Anfal. And that is in the ninth juz, starting in the ninth juz of the Quran al-Kareem, going into the into few rukus of the tenth juz of the Quran al-Kareem. So that's an early Medina revealed chapter. But to understand Badr, in our history, there was an expedition called Badr Ula, the first Badr, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to an area of Badr because Qurz bin Jabir had attacked the outskirts of Medina. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Hazrat Zayd in charge of Medina Munawwara in his absence. So that took place on the land of Badr, but no expedition took place. It's not the famous Badr. That's why it's known as Badr Ula. Then prior to Badr, there was an expedition that somehow leads into Badr. So I'll just mention that to you concisely, respected listeners, known as Sariyatu Nakhla. Now Nakhla, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent an early expedition, and he gave the Sahaba a letter. He was making the tarbiyah of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahash, radiallahu anhu, as the Amir. But interestingly, the first Amir of this troop or expedition was Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah. As they were leaving, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him cry profusely. He was crying due to the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "You stay this time." And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abdullah bin Jahash in his place. So the first time, Abdullah bin Jahash was called Amir in this expedition. So historically, he is one of the first Amirs in Islam. With Abdullah bin Jahash, radiallahu anhu, there was eight other Sahaba who were Muhajireen. The Ansar were not to participate yet. And in the expedition of Badr, we'll realize why. So here they were just Muhajireen, not one Ansari. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a letter to Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahash and said to him, "You only open the letter after 2 days. Go, hatta idha sirta laylatain fanshur kitabi. After 2 nights, 2 days of travel, you open my letter and then implement it." When they get to that point, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's letter is now opened. In the letter, enshrined in it is, "When you look into my letter, continue until you reach Nakhla. And there, wait in ambush, gathering information about Quraysh. وَتَعَلَّمْ لَنَا أَخْبَارَهُمْ. Bring information." And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "Do not force your companions to join you unless they want martyrdom." And when they stopped at that point, they read the letter, they understood the letter, he asked them, "Who wants to return? Who wants to continue?" Everyone was ready. Anyway, they continued. They get to that point where they see this caravan of Quraysh. Now, Quraysh had usurped the wealth of the Muslims, and the Quraysh were using their wealth to destroy Islam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent them to find out about this caravan. When they were camped there, they saw the caravan go by. What happened then was, they thought to themselves, "We are now in front of this caravan. Should we attack? Should we take the caravan, confiscate it, take it to Medina Munawwara? There's not much guards to the caravan. There were four guards only, four people guarding the caravan. Then they consulted, but they realized that we are in the sacred months. It was the end of Rajab. This is before Ramadan. Ramadan is Badr. We are in Rajab, and Rajab is the sacred month, and it's one day left of Rajab. As soon as we sight the moon, the month ends, then we no more in the sacred month. But then in the consultation, they realized, if the sacred month goes by, the sacred land will start. We're still in a catch-22. So let's just do what we have to do. They go, they capture, they arrest everyone in the caravan. They capture the caravan, take the four as captives. One resisted, and in that he died. His name was Amr ibn al-Hadrami. Amr ibn al-Hadrami died from the four, and the three were left, and they brought them to Medina Munawwara. One then escaped. So just two were left, Uthman and Hakam. So the caravan is brought to Medina. The two captives are brought to Medina. This was the first two captives in Islam. Otherwise, Muslims, there were many Muslim captives imprisoned in Makkah Mukarramah and were under torture, under brutality. This was the first two captives brought into Medina Munawwara. And when they arrived in Medina Munawwara, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very upset with this group of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Why was he upset with them? It was because his letter did not tell them to fight. They misunderstood it. And now, because they confiscated the caravan and there was some sort of fight that took place, Makkah was picking on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They would look for opportunities to pick on the faults of the Muslims. And now the utterance was, oh, look at him. He fights and kills people in the sacred months. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was hurt, and now there was pressure from the surrounding societies, especially Makkah, and these Sahaba were saddened because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was upset, and the other Sahaba were upset with them. Anyway, not much later, in Surah Baqarah, which is an early Meccan Medina Munawwara revealed chapter, Allah reveals the verses. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يسألونك عن الشهر الحرام قتال فيه قل قتال فيه كبير. This is Surah Baqarah verse number 217, where basically Allah says to the Muslims that yes, what they did could be deemed incorrect. Fighting in the sacred months is not acceptable, but what the mushrikeen do by barring people from Allah's way, disbelieving in the Masjid al-Haram, banishing people from the Masjid al-Haram, that is much greater than what the Muslims did. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically defended them. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pardoned them due to this verse in Al-Baqarah 2:17. And alhamdulillah, they were forgiven and the Sahaba were kind with them. But what's interesting is the two captives who were detained in the masjid, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat with them for long, explaining to them the beauty of Islam. And they were left to see the environment of the masjid and so forth. Until Hazrat Umar says, I told Allah's Nabi, why are you sitting so long with Hakam? Leave him. He's not interested. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Umar, you leave me. Let me explain to him. Let me give him this opportunity. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to him and answered his questions and conversed with him until Hakam became Muslim, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Umar says, I was saddened by how I looked at the situation and what I said to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that let him go to hell. Don't spend your time with him for such a long period of time. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then said to his Sahaba, that you see, you have to explain to every person. Otherwise, we leave them and they die without iman. فَلَوْ سَمِعْتُكُمْ أَطَعْتُكُمْ فِي آنِفًا فَتَرَكْتُهُ لَدَخَلَ النَّارِ. When we don't explain to them the truth and they die without faith, then they go to hellfire. Why shouldn't we save them from hellfire? So this was this first expedition that led up to Badr. You'll understand why just now. Remember the name of the person who was killed. Now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gets information that Abu Sufyan's caravan is on their way to Syria. They tried to intercept the caravan, they missed them. When the caravan was returning, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent a Sahabi by the name of Basbas and Adi get information. Anyway, they went, and Talha was also sent at a certain point. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with some Sahaba, whoever was ready, whoever of the Sahaba were ready, he didn't tell, he didn't wait long. He said, just come, whoever is ready, whoever is nearby, come join us. The intention was not to fight the mushrikeen of Quraysh. It was just to go and arrest this caravan and confiscate it. Because the mushrikeen were causing harm to the Muslims, and this is the wealth they were to use to attack Medina Munawwara. Anyway, which Sahaba got ready? Many, 313, according to the riwayah of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. Another report says 314, another report says 315, and the fourth report says 319. Anyway, this group of 313 Sahaba radiallahu anhum departed from Medina Munawwara on Thursday, the 12th of Ramadan, 2 years after Hijrah. This corresponded with the year March, with the month March, in the year 624 after Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. They departed. One beautiful interpretation and reasoning for the different numbers is, if you don't calculate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he is obviously the greatest, then it's 313. Counting him would make it 314. And then counting one more Sahabi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent back, which Sahabi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent back en route to be in charge of Medina Munawwara, that was Abu Lubaba bin Abdul Munzir radiallahu anhu. So counting him as well would make the number 315. Then they get to a certain point called Ruha, is a town where they stopped. That was where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the Sahaba and verified and analyzed who is exactly with him. Among them were four very young Sahaba: Hazrat Anas, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar, Hazrat Jabir, Hazrat Bara bin Azib. These four Sahaba, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam analyzed them and said that y'all are too young, y'all cannot join us. They went back, but they were tearing. They were tearing. Among them was another Sahabi, Zayd, Allahu Akbar. And Zayd was very emotional. He went back. His mother was also at a distance viewing her son go in Allah's way. And she also cried and he also cried. But thereafter, he learned another strategy to become close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, Ma, you know, I want to be close to my Nabi. You know how I'm going to get close to my Nabi, Ma? I'm going to get close to him through the Quran Kareem. So he also went back emotionally. So counting them brings the number to 319. That's how the number reaches that number. But they also get the reward because the intention was to be part and parcel. Among them was a Sahabi who was trying to conceal himself among the others. He was none other than the brother of Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, and that is Umair bin Abi Waqqas. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him and said, Umair, others have left. You also should be going. And he was very emotional. He was the right age, probably 16, but he was smaller in bulk and he broke down into tears. Oh Allah's Nabi, please, I must come and I'll strive for Allah's sake. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, accepted him. Hazrat Sa'ad says, actually, he was too short to even carry his sword properly. His sword was dragging on the ground. But imagine, look at the zeal of Sahaba to strive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Muslims are continuing. As they travel, they get to another place called Safra. Now, before they get to Safra, Abu Sufyan, who wasn't a Muslim yet, gets information that Muslims are coming or could be coming. So he then sent a messenger to Mecca to notify the Meccan community that you have to come. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming to attack and confiscate your caravan. But he sent a man by the name of Dumdum Ghifari. Dumdum. Anyway, Dumdum goes. Before Dumdum arrives in Mecca, Atika sees a dream. And she sees that this is Hazrat Abbas's sister, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's aunt, that a man stands on the mountain and he makes a big announcement and stones fall from the mountain and these stones reach every home and it's a catastrophe in Mecca and there's blood coming out from every home. Anyway, she just mentioned this dream to her brother Abbas that this is what I saw. But she said to him, don't say this to anybody, because they loved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Abbas wasn't a Muslim yet, but he was a great supporter of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, Abbas was to keep this information confidential, but he mentioned this information to a close friend of his, Walid bin Utba, saying, keep it in confidence. Walid in turn mentioned it to his father. And that's how the news spread in Makkah that this is what Atikah saw. So this is what happens if you want to keep something a secret and you mention it to one many a time. As they say, the walls have ears. And then they say, but anyway, let's not go into the humor now because our time is moving rapidly. Anyway, now the news is spreading and everyone is defaming the Prophet's family, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they're mocking Abbas. Oh, Abbas, this is what you said. And oh, we thought only your men falsely claimed to be prophets. Now you all got a prophetess too. Oh, and they're laughing and they're scoffing and they're yapping. And Hazrat Abbas can't bear it. And then Abu Jahl even said to him, because that dream portrayed that this information will be here in 3 days. So Abu Jahl said that, you know, if nothing happens in 3 days, we're going to have it enshrined on the Kaaba, on a document on the Kaaba, that the biggest liars under the sun is your family. And it hurt Abbas, and he's upset. And now his sister is also so upset with him that how dare you mention this? And he also regrets. The day went by, the second day went by, and every time they're yapping him. On the third day, Hazrat Abbas said, I'm going to respond to Abu Jahl and give him a tongue lashing. What is wrong with him? Anyway, he goes by the, because he wasn't stopping. He goes by the Kaaba to perform the tawaf, and then he sees Abu Jahl run in another direction. So he's wondering what happened. Is he so worried about my reaction? No, it's not that. They're hearing bum dum from the top of the mountain, who struck the nose of his camel. Camel is screaming. He pulled out his clothes and he's screaming at the top of his voice that this is exactly what's going on. Your caravan is in trouble. It's endangered. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his men are going to be confiscating it. And he announced that loud announcement. And that was exactly the reference of the dream of Atika. That is, now Makkah goes into a mode of battle, and everyone is getting ready, and everyone is now preparing for the expedition. They want to fight back, and they don't want Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to confiscate their caravan. And they're saying, oh, does he think that this is going to be like the caravan of Amr bin Hadrami? And now there's few of them. Everyone was getting ready, and all of them want to use their wealth and fight Allah Ta'ala's deen. And Allah Ta'ala mentioned this in the surah Al-Anfal, where they spend their wealth against Allah Ta'ala's deen. But then Allah Ta'ala says, فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا. They'll spend their wealth trying to destroy Allah's deen. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسْرًا. But that same wealth will be a regret for them. In this, they're all getting ready. Among the few who didn't want to come, one was Abu Lahab. He didn't go. He was very cowardly. And the other was Umayyah ibn Khalaf, the great Sahabi, Hazrat Safwan's father. But Safwan wasn't a Muslim yet. Umayyah was the same person who used to torture Hazrat Bilal, radiallahu anhu. He was not prepared to go. He went home also and told his wife, I am not going with them. And when someone asked him, why are you not going? He says, years ago, my friend Sa'd bin Mu'az visited me. And Sa'd was very close to Umayyah. When Umayyah used to go to Medina, he stayed with Sa'd radiallahu anhu. And when Sa'd came to Makkah, they both were powerful businessmen. When Sa'd radiallahu anhu came to Makkah, he stayed by Umayyah. So Sa'd, after he had embraced Islam, said to Umayyah, that take me out to perform tawaf around the Kaaba. Anyway, they looked for a suitable time and they performed in tawaf. Abu Jahl then sees Sa'd and interrogates him. Now Sa'd radiallahu anhu is a very great Sahabi, very senior man, the leader of Medina. So he's performing tawaf and Abu Jahl is insulting him in public, saying, how dare you walk here so freely? Don't you know what you'll have done? You'll have given resort to the imposter and this and that. Sa'd says, you know what? If you stop me from the Baytullah, I will stop you from things you like better. You like your wealth. We'll confiscate your wealth when you're on your way to Syria. And this conversation took place. Umayyah then said to Sa'd, Sa'd, keep quiet, because you don't know. You're speaking to the leader of Makkah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then in that, Sa'ad said to Umayyah, Umayyah, you're also talking too much. You know, I heard Allah's Nabi say, your end will be at his hands. Anyway, in this, he got very, very worried. So this is not Umayyah, this is Umayyah's brother, Ubay ibn Khalaf. I'm sorry, Ubay ibn Khalaf. And that's why Ubay was not prepared to participate. Anyway, whilst everyone was getting ready to leave, the whole Makkah was in a frenzy, Abu Jahl comes to Ubay ibn Khalaf. Why aren't you getting ready? He says, no, I won't be able to go. So Abu Jahl then brought for him perfume, female perfume, and said, you know what you should do? Take this perfume, sit at home, and use your mijmar and put perfumed smoke on you, and rather stay at home like a woman. And Abu Jahl knew which strings to pull and which nerves to work on, and he insulted Ubay so badly. Ubay went home and told his wife, get me ready, I'm going. She said, but don't you remember what Muhammad had uttered, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He says, no, I can't bear Abu Jahl saying this about me. Don't worry, I'll go for a little bit and I'll come back very quickly. And he also went along. Utba and Shayba were getting ready. Who approaches them? Their slave Addas. Now, can you remember Addas? He was the one who met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Ta'if not long before, a few years ago, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to give da'wah in Ta'if, and Addas was seeing to the farm of Utba and Shayba, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took resolve there, and Addas brought grapes to our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they had a discussion where Allah's Nabi politely portrayed and expressed Islam to him and showed him akhlaq, and he had embraced Islam. He comes to his masters Utba and Shayba and he says, please don't go. They said, how can you say this, Addas? He said, I'm telling you, that is Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You all should accept him and not fight him. This was the dawat Addas gave them. But anyway, they still went. And they're traveling from this side, and the Muslims now reach an area called Safra. There was where the Muslims gain information. Hazrat Basbas and Adi come with the information that it's not only the caravan of Yan, it is the mushrikeen of Makkah coming with a large army equipped to the teeth for us. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then in the town called Safra, he sits with Sahaba kiram radiyallahu anhum to make mashura. Now in this expedition, there was muhajireen and ansar. Prior to this, there was only muhajireen going out in the expeditions. This time the ansar was with. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks the Sahaba, what do you all feel? What should we do? Because it seems the mushrikeen are coming for us. We have to man up and we have to go for them. Obviously, when Sahaba left Medina Munawwara, the first intention was to go for the caravan. The caravan is an easy target. Now, this whole army is coming. What do you all feel? What should we do? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the opinions. Hazrat Abu Bakr got up. Oh Allah, Nabi, whatever you tell us to do, we are happy. We are with you. You want us to fight the army? We are ready. You want us to whatever? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ashiru alayya ayyuhan nas. Tell me, people, what do you all feel? What should we do? Hazrat Umar gets up. He says the same thing. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for more opinions in the Mashura. What do you all feel? Miqdad gets up. None of the Ansar had stood up yet. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to know what the Ansar are feeling. And ya Allah, just then Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'ad, this leader from the Ansar, realizes that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants them to speak. He wants them also to feel comfortable. Because when the bay'ah took place in Aqaba, in Hajj, years prior, the agreement there was that they will defend Islam and defend Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with all their life. But no clause of going out to fight for Allah was mentioned there. So he didn't want them to feel uncomfortable. What do you all feel? But he was asking indirectly. And Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu gets up. And how he responds, Allahu Akbar, it brought joy to Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'adh is known as the Siddiq of the Ansar, like Hazrat Abu Bakr is known as the Siddiq of the Muhajireen. And then that brought joy to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after Hazrat Sa'd's word that everyone was ready. And Allah Ta'ala mentions this entire scenario, how the mushrikeen depart from Makkah and how the Muslimin are coming and how it was not planned, where Allah Ta'ala says that all this is with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's plan. The Muslims were fewer, the mushrikeen were abundant in number, but Allah Ta'ala also gives this opportunity to the mushrikeen. قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ يَنْتَهُوا يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفَ. Tell them, if they stop and desist from the evil, Allah will still forgive them. But if they come back to do the wrong thing, then Allah's way is clear. And then Allah Ta'ala also mentioned that this was planned by Allah. Where you camped, where they camped. Allah says, if you had to plan it, actually you wouldn't have ended up in such a precise manner where this battle of Badr is clearly seen to be Allah's plan. إِذْ يُرِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنَامِكَ قَلِيلًا وَلَوْ أَرَاكَهُمْ كَثِيرًا لَفَشِلْتُمْ وَلَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ سَلَّمْ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Our time has elapsed. We encourage one and all, read the translation of Surah Al-Anfal, and I'll speak to Maulana Sahib if he allows us, because we have a discussion on Friday. Allah give us tawfiq to continue with the same discussion on Friday, so we can try and complete the discussion of the expedition of Badr. We're now busy in the Mashura, and the Muslims continue further, and the Mushrikeen are coming from their side. What happens thereafter? If Allah gives us the opportunity, we will discuss it further. Jazakumullahu khairan, Mawlana Sahib, wa barakallahu feekum.
Jazakumullahu khairan to Mufti Sahib. So that's the upcoming attractions, inshallah, and that's just kept us captivated, and inshallah, we will continue with it on Friday, inshallah. But Friday is too long, Mufti Sahib. So maybe, inshallah, make dua for us.
Assalamu alaikum. Amen. If there's another opportunity, we'll take it. Barakallahu feekum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And inshallah, we will continue with our programs. From us and the team, we say jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.